نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the hellfire. Just as a reminder to the brothers and sisters that this opening that I begin with most of the time before I speak, It has been reported authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from hadiths in Sahih Muslim and in the books of the Sunan, Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood and Sunan al-Nasa'i, and that these hadith are authentic, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had commanded or advised the people that before they present whatever they have to present to the people, they use this as an introduction. So for that reason, I use this as an introduction for my classes, because no one's better to follow than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. To our class, the Aqidah of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, last week we read from the beginning to the end of his Aqidah, showing that the Aqidah of the believers, or their belief of the believers, or the doctrine of the believers, is a very short one and a very simple one for everyone to understand, as this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out for all of humanity. And we said that inshallah ta'ala we were going to go week by week and point by point to explain in light of the Quran and the Sunnah and that which was said by the Salaful Ummah, to explain or to clarify and verify that which was said by Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, to show that the belief of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari or his Aqidah isn't his, meaning that he invented it. But they're saying it's his because he is saying it, and not because he invented it. But the Aqidah or the belief, it wasn't invented by any man, but it was that which was taught to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his Lord, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm going to go back from the very beginning and then inshallah to explain or to bring the ayah and the hadith related to the issues as we go along inshallah ta'ala. He says, after he had praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and made his introduction, he said, "Amma ba'du." Indeed, many of the people who have deviated from the truth, from among the Mu'tazila and those who deny the Qadr. Their lusts and desires have led them to blindly follow their leaders and those deviants who have preceded their leaders. Here the Shaykh, Hafizahullah wa Rahimahu, he's beginning off with the statement, the people who have deviated. And the Shaykh is making a point to show us that it's not upon us to be so naive as to think that all of the Muslims are on the Siratul Mustaqim, and that all of the Muslims are doing what they're supposed to do, and all of the Muslims are believing the way that they're supposed to believe, or all of the Muslims are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He ought to be worshipped, or the way that it was taught by His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh is beginning to tell us that there are people who have deviated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Quran, He makes mention of this, as He says in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 153, after I say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, Allah says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in this verse, and this is my path, the straight path, I command you to follow it, and don't follow any other path, as those paths will take you away from my path. This is what I am advising you with, so that perchance you may have taqwa, so that perchance you may fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is commanding us to follow His path and not to follow any other path. And those other paths, as the ulama have explained, they are the paths of bid'ah wa dalalat, or the paths of innovation and deviance. These are the paths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting us from staying away from. As Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his tafsir, he explains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is my path, in the singular. And then he says, don't follow those paths, in the plural. Allah uses His path to show that Allah's path, or the straight path, is one path. But the path of the deviance and those people who have gone astray is many paths. So there's not one path of deviance and one path of the truth. There's one path of the truth, but many different paths of deviance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this or explains the same way in many other verses in the Quran, like in Surah Al-Baqarah, shortly after Ayat Al-Kursi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumati ila an-nur. And Allah is the wali, or the protector and the close friend of those people who believe. He takes them out of darknesses and brings them to the light. And every time Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran, usually when He mentions darkness or oppression or wrongdoing, He mentions it in the plural. And then when He mentions light, He mentions it in the singular. Because the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one light. But that darkness of the people who have deviated from the path of Islam, their darknesses are many darknesses, showing that everyone that is wrong, they may have a different way that they're wrong. This one is wrong on that way, and that one is wrong on this way, and this one is wrong in that way. But the people of the truth, there's one path of truth and not two paths of truth. Walhamdulillah. Ibn Atiyah, in his book of Tafsir, and I wanted to bring these in relationship to this ayah because I felt that they were important. He says that this ayah encompasses the people of bid'ah or deviance, the people of balalat or the people who have gone astray, from the people who follow their own desires, and the people who have verdicts that are rare or only particular to their group. And other people who have delved into issues too deep, and they argue and they talk about Islam without any evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. And the reason I wanted to bring this point, as we're going to see, as we have mentioned from the statement of the Shaykh, that they blindly follow, that their lusts and their desires make them blindly follow their leaders. And here the Shaykh is saying that those people of bid'ah and those people who have gone astray, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has prohibited us from following their paths, that they are the people who follow their own desires. They are the people who have verdicts that are particular to their group alone. They are the people who dig too deep into issues They are the people who argue and debate about this deen with no evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. So we see that he's giving a description so that we can know who are these people who have strayed. Who are these people who are not on the Siratul Mustaqim? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to follow His path and not to follow any other paths. So we want to know the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so we can follow it. And we also want to know the path of the people who have gone astray so that we don't go astray the way they have gone astray, the way we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path. And then we say, غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. And not from the path of those people who have Allah's anger on them, nor those people who have gone astray. And we know that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in an authentic hadith, he explained that those people who have Allah's anger on them, they are the Jews. And those people who have gone astray, they are the Christians. And specific, and then anyone who fits these characteristics will also be considered among those people. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this ayah is teaching us to ask Allah to guide us to the straight path and to save us from those path of the people who have gone astray. And the path of the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with and displeased with because they are disobedient to their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, an authentic hadith, is explaining this ayah, or is using this ayah as proof, as we're going to see in the hadith collected by Abu Dawood At-Tayalisi. And I forgot his date that he died, but he's the generation before Bukhari and Muslim and even Imam Ahmed. So he's different from Abu Dawood As-Sijistani. And he's the one who wrote the Sunan Abu Dawood. But there's also called the Musnad of Abu Dawood. And it's by this scholar, Abu Dawood At-Tayalisi. So there are actually two Abu Dawoods who have books of hadith. One is Abu Dawood At-Tayalisi, who has the Musnad. And it's just one volume. And then you have the Sunan of Abu Dawood, which is the one that has been translated into English. Alhamdulillah. Anyway, he quotes the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who says, خَطَّ لَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَطًّا ثُمَّ قَالْ هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ خَطَّ خُطُوطًا عَنْ يَمِينِهِ وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِ ثُمَّ قَالْ هَذِهِ سُبُلٌ مُتَفَرِّقَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ سَبِيلٍ مِنْهَا شَيْطَانٌ يَدْعُوهُ إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ قَرَأَ وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا سبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيلي. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who, as we were mentioning in some classes, was the finest teacher of humanity, alayhi salatu wasalam, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew for us a line, and then he said, this is the path of Allah, and then he drew lines on the side of it, to the right of it, and then to the left of it, and he said, these are divided lines, lines that will divide you from this line, or take you away from this straight path. And then he said, on top of each one of those paths is a shaitan, a devil, calling the people to follow their paths. And then he read the ayat, and this is my path, the straight path, follow it, and don't follow any other path, as they will lead you away from my path. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, that there is the Siratul Mustaqim, the straight path, and then there are other paths, the paths of the people of deviance, who the Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari is mentioning. And we're bringing these ayahs and these hadith to show us that there is such thing as Muslims who are on the correct path and Muslims who have deviated. And not all Muslims are on the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah Ar-Rum, verses 131 and 132, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in these verses, and I prohibit you from being like the mushrikeen. And do not be like the mushrikeen, like the disbelievers, those who have divided their religion up into sects or into groups. Each group happily rejoicing in its own program of falsehood, thinking that it's the truth. And this is explanation with the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many times the people, if you hear me translate the Quran, that I'm encompassing in my translation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayah, the meaning or some of the tafsir included. So it might sound a little different from the basic tafsir, as I'm adding more to make the ayah clearer. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's speaking in Arabic, and sometimes in the translation they're a little bit literal, so I add more from the statements of the ulama to make it clearer. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that those people are happily rejoicing in their own program. And this is one of the signs of the people who have deviated from the straight path. If you go to them and you ask them, which is the best program in the world for the Muslims, he will say, our program, the one that my leader started. Or the one that founded the organization, our program is the best program. Anyone who comes to you with that, then you know that this is one of those paths that has a shaytan on the top of it, calling you to it. Otherwise, if anyone was asked, who are the best Muslims, or what program or group among the Muslims are the best, no one would be able to answer other than those who follow that which was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and preached to the people by His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those people who follow that, they are the people on right guidance, and those people who don't follow it, they are the people who go astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this in many verses in Quran, like He does in Surah An-Nisa, verses 13 and 14, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدَخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدَخِلْهُ نَارٌ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, these are the boundaries set by Allah. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, we will enter him into Jannat, gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding there forever. And that is the greatest success. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and transgresses the bounds, then we will enter him into the fire, abiding there forever, or what a humiliating punishment. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already laid out for us who are the people, are the successful people. The people who will be going to Jannah, they are the people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the people who are the losers, who will be going to the hellfire, are the people who disobey Allah and disobey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not that there is a group that has all of the truth, because no one has a monopoly on Allah's deen, the one that He has established or perfected for all of humanity. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. This day I have perfected for you, humanity, your deen, your way of life, and I have completed my favors to you, O humanity, and I have chosen for you, O humanity, Islam as your deen, Islam as your way of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this Islam for us, and whoever is following it, the way it was revealed, the way it was perfected, then those are the people who are okay. And whoever is following other than that, then they are on one of those paths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us. And there are many ayahs that we can quote, but inshallah, this would be sufficient to show that there is such thing as another path, and that Muslims could actually be on that path, as the ulama of Islam have explained that those paths are the path of the people who have gone astray from among the Christians and the Jews, and also from among the people who innovate and follow their own desires from among the Muslims. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an authentic hadith collected by Imam Ahmad and also Ibn Majah in a Sunan, and this is an authentic hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَدْ تَرَقْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا بَعْدِي إِلَّا هَالِكَ. Indeed, I have left you on whiteness. The night of it is like the day of it. No one will stray from it except that he is destroyed. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that he left us on whiteness. And we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam had used the term white to show the purity of Islam. And whiteness has always been a sign for cleanliness. As you can see, if something is white, if it has something on it, you can see the dirt. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that he left us on whiteness. That this Islam, from the characteristics of it, is that it's pure and it's clean, it's unadulterated. And by that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is using the word whiteness, al-bayda. The night of it is like the day of it. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing the easiness and the clarity of this deen of Islam by showing that the night of Islam is just like the day of Islam. And the night is harder to see what is what you're looking at, as opposed to the day, you find it easy to see what you're looking at. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing that even the most difficult things or the harder things to see is just as easy to see and understand and practice and worship Allah on as those things that are clear. Showing that everything in Islam is clear. And no one will deviate from this clearness except that he is destroyed. No one will deviate from the clearness of Islam, of the Quran, and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that they are destroyed. No one will deviate. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also showing that there will be Muslims who will deviate from this whiteness, who will deviate from the clear understanding and practical application of Islam, and those people, they will be destroyed. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another verse, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا وَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, from Surah As-Saff, verse number 5. And when they deviate, Allah will increase them in their deviance. Or once they have deviated, Allah has deviated their hearts, or made their hearts deviant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hakim, Al-Alim, He called the people to the truth by sending his prophets and messengers to humanity to proclaim to all of them, Ya ayyuhan nas, ubudu rabbakum. Ya ayyuhan nas. Excuse me. Ya qawmi ubudu Allah, ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my people, worship Allah. No deity, no God, no object of worship has the right to be worshipped other than him. This is the message of all the prophets and messengers who came to humanity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show them that which was the truth. To show them how to get closer to their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is obedience to their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the straight path that leads to Jannah? What is the path that leads to the hellfire? And the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim, they called the people to the Jannah and they prohibited the people from the hellfire. After those prophets have been sent to humanity, and they have been sent so that people could no longer have any excuse in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after he has sent his prophets and messengers. After that, when you go astray, Allah will make your heart astray. So those people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hinting here in this Surah As-Saff, and we'll see that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala was actually talking about the people of Musa, who have deviated when he came to them as a messenger and they didn't want to follow him. So when they deviated, Allah made their hearts deviant. And just the same today, whoever deviates and wants to be among the deviants, after he hears the clear proof and truth of Islam, Allah will make their hearts deviant. And this is how we're going to see that even if you talk to some deviants and you try to convince them and you present to them all the proofs, whether you presented to them 1,000 proofs, once they've deviated and Allah deviated their hearts, who is the one to guide the one that Allah has lent astray? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another hadith that is becoming to be popularly known among the Muslims, and that is his statement in this hadith collected by Tirmidhi and others, Inna bani Israel iftaraqu ala ihda wa sab'ina milla, wa taftariqu ummati ala thalath wa sab'ina milla, كلها في النار إلا واحدة فقيل يا رسول الله ما الواحدة قال ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this authentic hadith says, indeed, Bani Israel, they have divided up into 31 millah, as if it's like 31 different religions in the one religion. And my ummah, the Muslims, will be divided into 73 millahs, 73 little deens in themselves, 73 little religions in themselves. All of them will be in the hellfire except one. And they asked, which one is that, Ya Rasulullah? And he said, the one that follows what I am upon today and my companions. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it very clear that his ummah, the Muslims, they will be divided into 73 sects. All of them are in the hellfire except one. And they are the ones that are upon that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon and his companions. We want to make note though, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that all of them are in the hellfire except one, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam isn't saying that the Muslims who are following these deviant groups and deviant beliefs and sects, that they will abide in the hellfire forever. No. Anyone who bears witness to La ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah will enter into Jannah, even if he has to be tested by the hellfire because of his deviance. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the fire. So don't mistake this hadith into thinking that the Muslims, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that some Muslims will be in the hellfire. Or if we read ayat and hadith that show whoever commits a particular sin from among the Muslims will be in the hellfire, we're not saying forever. And we're going to cover that point of our belief, that if the Muslims are entered into the hellfire, and Muslims will be punished in the hellfire because of their sins, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to make any one of us in this room, or anyone who hears us among the Muslims to be in that hellfire. But those Muslims who would be tested with that, they will eventually be bought out and entered into Jannah, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam explained in many authentic hadiths, and we'll mention those inshallah when we get to that point. But the point is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is showing us that this ummah, the Muslims, will be divided into different sects, and only one of those sects, or one of those religion, or one of those groups of people that are on the truth, are the people who are upon that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon and his companions. And being upon that isn't a statement on your tongue alone, but it's belief in your heart and actions with your body parts, that you are upon that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon and his companions. You can't say, and if you ask anybody with his group, when you ask him who has the best group, when he says my group. And if you ask him, what is this group upon, he's going to say, the Quran and the Sunnah. If he said other than that, he wouldn't even be a Muslim. So all of the Muslims are going to say that we're on the Quran and the Sunnah. Because if they said other than that, we would say you're a straight up kafir. We not fooled, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making clear in His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just because you tell us that you are on the Quran and the Sunnah, and your group is the best group, doesn't mean anything, because we can see, we have the Quran and the Sunnah preserved and intact the way it was revealed 1400 years ago, and it will remain that way until Yawm al-Qiyamah. That is the yardstick to go up to anyone's tongue, anyone's allegations that I'm on the truth, we got a book and we got a Sunnah to say, compare your life with this, compare your group with this, to see if you're on the truth. And if you compare the Quran and the Sunnah to any of the deviants, you will see that they're off the truth. And for example, as the Shaykh is mentioning some of the groups, and we'll mention one of them, they're the Rawafid, or the modern day Shia. Those people who follow the Ja'fari Madhab, they say. Those people say, if you ask them, and they're mostly from Iran, and those people who agree with them, what do you follow? They'll say the Quran and the Sunnah. Why do they write in their books that the Quran that we have today with us, that this isn't even one third of the Quran that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In one light they believe, and the next light they disbelieve. How in the world is he going to say this is only one third of the Quran when Allah preserved that Quran? Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun, from Surah Al-Hijr, verse number 9, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, indeed we have revealed the dhikr, the revelation of the Quran, and indeed we are its preservers. How in the world are you going to say that this is one third of the real Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved? You can say that about the scriptures that the Jews and the Christians are playing with today that say it's from Allah after they wrote it out with their hands and invented it and made it up. And then they said this is from Allah. This Quran has been preserved intact. Its recitation and in the written form. The understanding of it and the practical application from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyam is going to be intact because Allah said He preserved it. And He preserved it in every way that it can be preserved. Written, memorized, understood, and practiced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved that Quran to Yawm al-Qiyam. So when those people say that we only have one third of the Quran, they lie. You saying one thing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying another thing. We put that yardstick up to you, either you're going to be in accordance to it or you're going to be deviant as much as you aren't in accordance to that yardstick that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out for us, the Quran and the Sunnah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in the authentic hadith collected by Muwatta Imam Malik and other than him. تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ أَمْرَيْنِ مَا إِنِ اعْتَصَمْتُمْ بِهِمَا فَلَنْ تَضِلُّوا أَبَدًا كتاب الله وسنتي أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. I have left you with two things. Whoever holds firmly to them, whoever practices them as they're supposed to be practiced, whoever understands them as they're supposed to be understood, whoever believes in them as they're supposed to be believed in, will never ever go astray after me. They are the book of Allah and my sunnah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us how we are to be on the path of, that we won't go astray. And that's holding on to the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. There's a long hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and in the books of the Sunan. And this is the hadith of Hudhayfa, and it's in, if you look in Bukhari, and in the translation he calls it, the book of afflictions, or the book of tests and trials and afflictions. In there you can find this hadith. So I'm just going to quote the part of it, inshallah, to make it shorter, the part that we want to use as the proof, and whoever wants to read it can go back and read the translation, inshallah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining to Hudhayfa, who was questioning him about the good times of Islam and the bad times of Islam, until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said about one of the bad times of Islam, that قَوْمٌ يَسْتَنُّونَ بِغَيْرِ سُنَّتِي وَيَهْدُونَ بِغَيْرِ هَدْيِي تَعْرِفُ مِنْهُمْ وَتُنْكِرُ فقلت فهل بعد ذلك الخير من شر قال نعم دعاة على أبواب جهنم من أجابهم إليها قذفوه فيها فقلت يا رسول الله صفهم لنا قال هم من جلدتنا ويتكلمون بألسنتنا قلت فما تأمرني إن أدركني ذلك قال تلزم جماعة المسلمين وإمامهم قلت فإن لم يكن لهم جماعة ولا إمام قال فاعتزل تلك الفرق كلها ولو تعضوا بأصل شجرة حتى يدركك الموت وأنت على ذلك. Here when Hudhayfa asked them about one of the bad times among the Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be people who will be practicing other than my sunnah, and they will be guided by other than my guidance. You will know them and you will be opposed to them. Then Hudhayfa asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is there any good after that bad? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. He asked them, was there any bad after that good? Because this time where the people are following other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah and other than the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is one of the bad times of Islam, but not totally bad, as the hadith, and you'll see in it as it goes. But here he's asking about, is there any bad after that good? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, there'll be du'at, or people who are propagators on the doors of Jahannam, of the hellfire, and they are calling the people to the hellfire, and whoever answers their call will be thrown in there. Here the Prophet ﷺ is saying, you have some people who are du'at, people are propagators of supposedly of Islam, people who are supposedly calling people to Islam, they're actually people on the doors of the hellfire. As we know, a shaitan is on one of each one of those paths, calling the people to it. And here the Prophet ﷺ is saying it in another way, that these propagators, these people are calling people to Islam, they're on the doors of the hellfire, and whoever answers them will be thrown into him. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who we see from this questioning, is really asking the Prophet ﷺ beneficial questions, and in the detail that would benefit him and the Muslims after him. He said, Ya Rasulullah, describe them to us, as they're amongst us, and they're calling us to the hellfire. He's asking the Prophet ﷺ to describe them to us, so that we won't be fooled by them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are from among your own kind, and they speak your own language. And if we see all of the deviants, any group anywhere around the world, that they have this type of nationalism, or this type of peopleism, or racism, for their own race and their group. Why? Because they're among you, and they speak your language. So this is one of the signs of those deviant people on the hellfire calling it to you. They're calling you in light of, you're my people. You're my race. I'm from you. I speak the same language as you. He's using that to call you to the hellfire and away from the Siratul Mustaqim. And then Hudhayfa said, okay, if I'm living during that time, what should I do? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hold on to the Jama'at al-Muslimin and their leader. Hold on to the body of the Muslims who are guided on the straight path and their leader. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in other narrations of this hadith, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses the word Khalifa, this is the time where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about the Khalifa of the Muslims, who is the leader of all of the Muslims. Not part of the Muslims, but all of the entire Muslims on the face of the earth. He's called the Khalifa. And that the people have given bay'ah to this Khalifa, or allegiance to this Khalifa. And those people have given allegiance to this Khalifa and follow them. When those people are calling you to the hellfire, you hang on to that leader of the Muslims. And you give your bay'ah to him, and you stay with him, as this will safeguard you against those people who have deviated. Hudhayfa asks, suppose there's no group of people and no leader. And today we find ourselves in this time, as not the Muslims before us, having found themselves in this time that he was asking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about. That the Muslims have went 1300 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before anyone lived in the time when there was no leader of the Muslims. Leader, Khalifa, meaning leader of the Muslims of the entire world. As we know that the Khilafah, or this leadership, had fell, I don't know how many years ago, 60 to 90 years ago. And that we have no Khalifa, no one leader of all of the Muslims in the world. And we have no bay'ah or allegiance to this Khalifa. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we are in that time, what should we do? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, stay away from all of those groups. Stay away from all of those groups. Even if you have to hold on to the roots of the tree until death overtakes you and you're in that state. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, stay away from all of those groups. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is definitely answering in light that there will come a time when there's no Khalifa, no leader of all of the Muslims in the world. And the Muslims don't have their bay'ah or their allegiance to that one leader of the Muslims in the world. That when that time comes, the Prophet ﷺ says, stay away from all of the groups. And if you see the groups in Islam, nowadays, the majority of the groups, especially the ones we have been affected by in America, all of those groups were established after the fall of the Khalifa, of the Khilafahship, came all of these groups. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commanded us to stay away from all of those groups. He prohibited us from being with all of those groups. And this is guidance from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam to all of the believers, that when anyone comes to us calling us to his group, to his program, then we will tell him, don't you know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam told us in authentic hadith, collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, فَاعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرَقَ كُلَّهَا, and stay far away from all of those groups. And even the word فَاعْتَزِلْ, it really means isolate yourself from all of those groups. Stay away from all of those groups. And this is from the commandment of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you can imagine the response of the people of the groups if you quote this hadith to them. They'll still believe that their group has some type of validity after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded the believers to stay away from all of those groups. At any rate, these ayah and these hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam show us that the Muslims aren't just all together one on the Siratul Mustaqim, on the straight path, but that the Muslims have broken off into 73 sects, 72 of them being deviant paths that have shaitan on them, calling those people to the hellfire. Even if it's only temporarily, they're calling them to the hellfire, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep guiding us on the Siratul Mustaqim. So the Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, he's saying, indeed, many of the people who have deviated from the truth, those people who have left the Siratul Mustaqim, from among the Mu'tazila, and those who deny Qadr. And we said that the Mu'tazila, that they were just a group of people who tried to place their intellect over the text from the Quran and the Sunnah. And we see them today, as we saw a couple of days ago at Rutgers lecture with the man Amin Best, who said that we place that this deen is based on the intellect and that we make our verdicts without any proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. And if anyone wants to hear his exact words of him to make sure that he's actually insane when he's talking, then he can listen to that tea if they haven't been burnt. The Mu'tazila of the past, and nowadays you have the same trend. And this is very common for the deviants, that they place their intellect above the text from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Because the Qur'an and the Sunnah is the truth. It's the Siratul Mustaqim. And anything other than that, the Qur'an and the Sunnah would have something against it. You're either on the Qur'an and the Sunnah, or you off of it. If you're on it, the Qur'an and the Sunnah would support you, even if you make mistakes and you're wrong. As we know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu bani Adam khattaa wa khayru khattaa'in at-tawwabun." That all of the children of Adam are mistake makers, are sinners, and the best of the sinners are the repenters. So we know that all of us are going to fall short, and that perfection is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this falling short, making mistakes, and committing sins doesn't take you off the straight path. That you can be on the straight path and commit sins and make mistakes and you're still not deviant, as all of the children of Adam commit these mistakes and make these sins. But they repent when they do so and they come back to the truth as much as they are able to. These are the people who are on the straight path. But those deviant people, if you put the Quran and Sunnah up to them, you'll see that they're off the Quran and the Sunnah. And they won't even repent to come back to the Quran and the Sunnah. And we're going to see as the Shaykh goes on to explain. And then he said, and those who deny Qadr. And all of us are aware of the hadith of Umar, known as the hadith of Jibreel, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by the angel Jibreel, what is Islam, and what is Iman, and what is Ihsan? And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered on what is Iman, he said, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وأن تؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Iman or faith is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and then Qadr, or predestination, or the divine decree, the good of it and the bad of it. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that this was from our deen and this was from our faith, our belief, that we believe in Qadr, how in the world could you have Muslims who deny Qadr? The Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, explains clearly, alhamdulillah, if we have any doubts that Muslims can actually hear the text of the Quran and the Sunnah and then go opposed to it, then listen to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is authentic and is collected by Imam Ahmed, where he says sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sayakunu fi ummati aqwamun yukadhibuna bil qadr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be a group of people in my ummah from among the Muslims who will deny the qadr. And there were a group of people who denied the qadr during the time of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is why this hadith was narrated. And if we look at the translation of Sahih Muslim, we will see the whole story of that hadith of Jibreel. And the 40 hadith, I don't think he brings the whole story. He brings the whole story from the time where the people said, we left Iraq and we wanted to go to Medina to meet one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't bring it in the translation of 40 hadith. Anyway, those people said they wanted to meet one of the companions, and they met one of them, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, and they told him, we have a group of people who read the Quran and are considered scholars, and they disbelieve in Qadr. And Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, first of all, you go back and you tell those people that I'm free from them, and that they're free from me, and that I heard my father say, and then he quoted the hadith, the famous hadith, we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when a man came up to us. He had very white clothing, very dark hair. He didn't have any signs of travel on him. No one from among us knew him. And then to the end of that hadith. But we see that there are such things as clear, authentic texts, as this hadith about what is iman is from Sahih Muslim. And it's authentic. And there are many authentic hadith. Rather, the ayat in the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qamar, inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qamar, verse number 49, inna kulla, authentic hadith that can't be interpreted any other way, and people down, outright disbelieve in it. And we should know, because we're living in America, and today we have people who disbelieve in ayahs in the Quran and hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clear, unambiguous, because the night of it is like the day of it. This deen is clear, all of it, walhamdulillah. And the part of this deen that may not be clear, if there's not any clarity in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't made us responsible for that, except to stay away from those gray areas. As we know from the hadith, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And this hadith is from 40 hadith. Indeed, the permissible, the halal is clear, and indeed the haram or the forbidden is clear. And what is between the two are some gray issues that not many people know. And to the end of that hadith, and we can refer back to it from the 40 hadith that everyone should have a copy of, inshallah. So here we see, as he's mentioning the Mu'tazila, or the people who follow their own desires above the Quran and the Sunnah, he mentions the people who deny the Qadr, and it's a clear hadith. And today, there are people who are deviant, and they have a part of their deviant programs, things that are in exact opposition to the Quran and the Sunnah, as this is the way of the deviant people, as the Sheikh is going on to explain, as he says, and I hope you don't remind me backing up and repeating the text of the Sheikh so that we can understand it and remember it, inshallah. Indeed, many of the people who have deviated from the truth, from among the Mu'tazila, those people who place their intellect above the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and their beliefs are so out of it, that there's no need to even burden ourselves with mentioning that stuff when we have so much Quran and Sunnah that we can learn and practice and believe in and understand, inshallah. And those who deny the Qadr, the divine decree, their lusts and desires have led them to blindly follow their leaders and those deviants who have preceded their leaders as being leaders. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people who allow their lusts and their desires to be their judgment on their verdicts in relationship to this deen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 43, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Have you not seen the one who has taken his own desires as his Lord, as his God, as his object of worship? Are you the one that has been placed as a guardian over him? Are you the one, as the ulama are explaining, are you the one that's going to be responsible for this person with that level of ignorance that he has taken his own desires as his God? The one that makes whatever he feels be his verdict. I like that girl. I guess I can fornicate with her. Akhi, what are you doing living with a sister that you're not married to? Oh, I like her. Leave me alone. I'm a Muslim. I come to the masjid and I make my salat. You can't see in my heart. I'm a believer. Have you seen the one who has taken his own desires as his Lord? Are you the one who's going to be responsible for him? Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made us responsible for those people who have taken their own desires as their God, because all of us would be finished. If Allah tabarak wa ta'ala held us accountable for those people and what they did and what they invented in this deen and how they led the people away from the Siratul Mustaqeem, if we were accountable for their deviance, we'd be finished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the same thing in another verse, and he says it in a different way. And for that, I wanted to mention both of these verses, and that's in Surah Al-Jathiyah, verse number 23, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصْرِهِ غِشَاوَةً فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَتَذَكَّرُونَ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this ayah says, have you seen the one who has taken his own desires for his God, and Allah has led him astray on clear knowledge? That one who has taken his own desires as his God to make his judgments for him, Allah has led him astray on clear guidance, on knowledge. Allah has sent his prophets and messengers to make the knowledge known to humanity, so that no one has an excuse in front of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. On top of that, you take your own desire as your God, Allah led you astray. As we have mentioned in the other verse, after they went astray, Allah made their hearts astray. So Allah led them astray on knowledge that was presented from his messengers. Knowledge of revelation, knowledge of the sunnah of his prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah led them astray on that knowledge. And then Allah goes on to say, and Allah has placed a seal on their hearing, and on their hearts and their minds, and on their eyes is a veil. They can't see. Is there anyone to guide them after Allah? Won't you think then? Won't you remember then? So we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, Allah has led them astray after they had knowledge of the truth and they took their own desires as their God. Akhi, follow this Quran and the Sunnah. Akhi, follow this Quran and the Sunnah. Akhi, follow this Quran and the Sunnah and leave that deviance alone. I just love it. I'm emotionally attached to it. I've been with it so long. I just have to be with it. He has knowledge of the truth, and that's how he has taken his own desires of his Lord. Allah put a seal on their hearts, on their hearing, a veil on their eyes. Are you going to guide them after Allah has led them astray? No one can guide someone who Allah has led astray. And you know that a seal is on their hearings when you say Allah said and they do something else. When you say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and they do something else. Wallahi, I remember like yesterday. It's among the position in some of the madhabs that when they line up for salat, that their feet are apart one from the next person, the hands width. Meaning that if we're lined up in a row, that my foot would be here, starting here, and your foot would be over there. That there will be a gap in between every person all the way down the row. We know that the hadith from the book Riyadh al-Salihin, and Imam Nawawi has an excellent chapter on straightening the rows, and the hadith from the Prophet ﷺ about tightening the rows and lining up shoulder to shoulder and then foot to foot, as it was explained by the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, not leaving any gaps for the shaitan. You're going to read your book in the madhab that says leave a gap like that. And then when the hadith comes to you, you say, the leader of my madhab had more knowledge of the hadith than I did.
So if he saw the hadith like that and he made a decision like this, then I'm with him. Do you know more about the Quran and the Sunnah than my leader? No. But that doesn't mean I'm a fool like you are to follow deviance and take my own desires as my guide when I can hear the clear hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People are like that. And we don't need to be so naive as to thinking that there aren't Muslims who hear the truth and just down outright go some other way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it very clear in the Quran that there are people who have taken their own desires as their God. And we see it in America, in the land where the people have made whatever the mind could imagine, do it. These people who follow, who have taken their own desires as their God and just do whatever their lust and their desires allow them to do, that their desires have forced them and allowed them to blindly follow their leaders and the leaders of their leaders who have come before their leaders. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the sin of this blind following and the evilness of this blindly following. And we're going to mention, inshallah, the definition of blind following. And that is, to blindly follow someone is to follow them without them having any evidence. To follow someone other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he has no evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. Whoever follows a person like that, whatever he says you do, and whatever he says don't do, you don't do, and he has no evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, if you follow him, then you're blindly following him. And this is different from following. And I have to make this point clear, and let's just try to listen to it. If you follow someone, and we have been commanded to follow the people who have come before us, you follow them means you follow what they bring to you with their evidence. When they say, Akhi, close up the gaps like this, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says such and such, you follow him in that commandment. When he says, Akhi, don't wear your pants below your ankle, you stay away from it, following him, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ma asfala min al-ka'baini fa finnar, that whatever is below the ankle is in the fire. So you're following this person. Following is to follow someone when he has evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. To blindly follow someone is to follow him without having any evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. Okay, all of the Muslims know some Quran and the Sunnah. And especially the leaders, they know Quran and the Sunnah. That doesn't make what they say in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah until they bring the Quran and the Sunnah to support that which they say. So blind following is to follow them without them having any evidence to those points. And to, that's blindly following them. And to follow them is to follow them while they have evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah on those points. Following has been encouraged and praised, and blind following has been blamed. As Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 170, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعَقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. And when it is said to them, and this ayah was revealed in relationship to the disbelievers in specific. And when it is said to them, the disbelievers, follow that which Allah has revealed from the Quran and from the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we've mentioned often that the Sunnah is revelation, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, at the beginning of Surah Al-Najm, that he does not speak on his own desires, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. So both the Quran and the Sunnah, or that which the Prophet ﷺ spoke with, is revelation from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And when you call and when you say to them, follow that which Allah has revealed, they say, rather, we will follow that which we found our fathers following. Even if your fathers didn't have any sense and they weren't guided, are you going to follow them? So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blaming those people who blindly followed their fathers, though they aren't guided and though they don't have any reason, though they don't have any evidence from that which has been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is blaming those people. And we know that there's going to be no excuse in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah if we say that we have blindly followed those people who led us astray. Because if we blindly follow them and they lead us astray, it's going to be as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes here in Surah Al-Baqarah verse number 166. إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ تُبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوا وَرَأَوُوا الْعَذَابَ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهُمُ الْأَسْبَابِ وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّؤُوا مِنَّا كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهُمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when those people who were followed free themselves from those who followed them, and they see the punishment, and all of their relations is cut off from their family ties, and those people who are following say, if we had only been given another chance, we would have freed ourselves from them the way they freed themselves from us. This is the way Allah shows them their deeds as regret to themselves. And they will not, and they won't ever find any way out of the fire. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you. Those people who say, follow me, I'm a shaitan, I'm calling you to the hellfire, follow me in my deviance. Whoever follows them because of his emotional tie or whatever, and he doesn't want to let that deviance go after he hears the truth, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, those deeds will be brought back to him. And the people, the shaitan who was calling them to, they're going to say, nah, you ain't know I was deviant. I was just trying to get your money and live large. I already knew the punishment was going to come to me. I was just trying to live a little good until the punishment came to me. Just like shaitan did. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hashr, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ الْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفْرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And like the example of shaitan, when he says to humanity, be a kafir. And when you become a kafir, he says, I'm free from you. I fear Allah, Lord of all the worlds. Shaitan calls you to be a kafir. Once you're a kafir on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you're going to say, the devil made me do it. He's going to say, I'm free from you. I ain't have no power over you. I was just calling you to that stuff and you did it on your own. This is the same way that those deviant leaders are going to say to all of their followers. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, they think that they're going to have proof in front of Allah from blindly following those people. That I was blindly following them, Allah. You're going to hold me accountable for blindly following them? They're the ones who led me astray. Those people are going to say, no, I'm free from you. You shouldn't have followed me. You know I was deviant. The truth was made clear. You still going to follow. I told you opposite of the truth and you followed me anyway. Especially when the people were calling you to the truth. Akhi, follow the truth. I came to you and said, no, follow my deviance, and you followed me. You think that there's going to be some help from you with Allah? They're going to wish on Yawm al-Qiyamah, if I only had another chance, I would have freed myself from you. Just like you freed yourself from me. But it's too late. When you die, it's too late. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us. And a verse in Surah Al-Fajr.
وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانَ وَأَنَّ لَهُ ذِكْرَى.
On that day when the hellfire will be brought forth, that day the people will remember. But how will that remembrance benefit them then? You're going to remember when you're in the hellfire, those deviant Muslims. You're going to remember the people said, Akhi, come to this Quran and the Sunnah, the way that it was practiced and understood by the Salaf of this Ummah. You're going to remember that statement when you die following those deviant people. But how is your remembering then going to benefit you? We have to remember this truth. We have to remember now when the truth is being brought to us that we have to be among the people who say we hear and we obey. and not like those and not be like those people say we hear and we disobey. We love being with our deviants. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the people who blind follow in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 66, where Allah says, يَوْمَ تُقَلَّبُ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ يَقُولُونَ يَا لَيْتَنَا أَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَأَطَعْنَا الرَّسُولَ وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا أَطَعْنَا سَادَتَنَا وَكُبَرَاءَنَا فَأَضَلُّونَا السَّبِيلَ. Allah says, on that day when the faces will be turned into the hellfire, they will say, if only we would have obeyed Allah and obeyed the messenger. On that day when you're thrown into the hellfire for following your deviant leaders, the first thing you're going to say, if only I would have obeyed Allah and His messenger. And they'll say, our Lord, indeed, we have obeyed our leaders and the people with status from among us, and they led us from that path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that this blind following of those deviant people who have deviated from the path, that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, this will not save you. Because there's no excuse in front of Allah to say that you were blindly following anyone. We have been commanded to follow, and we have not been commanded to blind follow. I'm with you so long as you say, Qala Allah, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm with you so long as you say, my Lord says such and such, and my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says such and such. And I'm not blindly following you, and I'm not with you when you say, I said. As that deviant Amin Best said that day, when he said, and you better get on this point, because I'm telling you. And when I say it, you know it's right. And the people had the nerve to get mad when people said, A'udhu billah and astaghfirullah for that deviance. What else you going to say when you hear a taghut? What else is you going to say when you hear someone has taken his own desires as his God? And just clearly have the audacity to talk to you like you stupid after you have used your intellect to stop blindly following your forefathers and to follow the people of the truth and to accept Islam. How can we be pleased with people calling us to that deviance after this guidance? And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala praises those people who follow the guidance, who listens to what is said and follows that which is correct, as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us in Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 18 and 19, وَبَشِّرْ عِبَادَ أَلَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and give glad tidings to my servants, those who listen to what is being said and follow that which is best, that which is correct, that which is from their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and from their messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those, they are the ones who Allah has guided, and they are the ones who have a real mind. Here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is showing the people who are guided, showing the people who have a real mind. They are the people who follow that which has been revealed to them from their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people who the Shaykh is talking about have taken their own lust and their desires to make them blindly follow their leaders and the leaders that become before them, it won't be any excuse for them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, as we repeat the statement of the Shaykh. Indeed, many of the people who have deviated from the truth, from among the Mu'tazila and those who deny the Qadr, their lusts and desires have led them to blindly follow their leaders, and those deviant leaders who have preceded their leaders in deviance, they interpret and explain the Quran according to their own whims and views and opinions, which establishes for them beliefs and convictions that Allah has not given anyone the authority to establish. These people who have deviated with this type of deviance and have taken their lusts and desires to make them blindly follow their deviant leaders, they, the leaders, interpret for the deviant, for their deviant followers, or the followers that they have made deviant, those leaders interpret and explain the Quran according to their own desires, according to their own opinion. And you can know the deviant groups because their leaders are always claiming they have some mysterious supernatural interpretations of the Quran that no one has besides them, and that's why you should follow them. This is all of the deviant leaders, and this is their claim that they have the best. What's proof your group is better than any other group? My leader know more than every other leader. He got what no one else has, that's why we with him. This is the way of the deviants, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has already explained in his Quran how his Quran should be explained and understood. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nahl, verse number 44, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And we have revealed to you Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham ibn Abdi Munaf al-Qurashi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have revealed to you the dhikr, the Quran, the revelation, so that you may explain to people what has been revealed to them, so that perchance they may reflect. Here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is entrusting his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the explanation of the Quran. And that, alhamdulillah, Allah has not entrusted any of these deviant leaders to explain the Quran with us. Otherwise, we would be astray like they are, and we'd have no excuse for us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So, alhamdulillah, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has revealed to us this verse, so that we can know who has been entrusted with explaining that Quran and who hasn't. And that these people who follow their own desires among the leaders, that their interpretation of the Quran means nothing to us. And from their interpretation, they establish beliefs that no one has believed in before from among the Muslims except themselves. And they have this type of conviction or this type of certainty or this type of love for their group like no one else because of the explanation of their leaders. As one of the deviant groups of today, they use an ayah in the Quran to say it's referring to their group. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and let there rise or let there be from amongst you a group that is calling to the good. They say, see, Allah was talking about our group. And after Allah then talked about our group and told you to be among them, you go and join other than them, you get what you deserve, brother. You see, and they have their people going around telling you that. Wallahi, people will come to you with the type of conviction that he has no doubt of the truthfulness of the lie. Brother, you get what you deserve if you don't follow our leader. Because he's the one that Allah has chosen for us in these days and times. His deviance, his leader's interpretation of the Quran, those deviant interpretations, establishes for the group and for the people of the group these types of beliefs and these convictions that they think that they have some type of truth because of the deviance of their explanations from their leaders. This is the custom of the people of deviance. As the Sheikh is trying to explain that they interpret the Quran according to their own opinions, according to their own views and their desires after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain the Quran. The Sheikh goes on to say, nor do they have any proof or evidence to support their position. So here he's saying that they interpret the Quran according to their own desires. And they have no proof or evidence to support the positions that they arrived at from their explanations of the Quran. Nor do they have any narrations going back to the Messenger of Allah or to the Messenger of the Lord of all the worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to the earliest Salaf, or to the earliest generations or predecessors from this deen. Here he's saying that those people who follow their own desires, those people who blindly follow their leaders, that their leaders interpret the Quran on their own desires. And proof of their interpretation of the Quran on their own desires is they have no proof and no evidence for their misinterpretations. They don't have any narrations to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here the Shaykh is showing, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one that explains the Quran. Nor do they have any narrations back to the earlier Salaf, referring to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then the ones that followed them. As we were mentioning earlier, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the ummah will be divided into 73 sects, all of them are in the hellfire except one, and that one is the one that is on what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon and his companions, showing the earliest predecessors. And this is one of the proofs to show that we follow the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were the ones who accepted Islam from the message of the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were the ones who lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were the ones who ate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were the ones who traveled with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were the ones who fought jihad with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were the ones that were present with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the Quran was being revealed to them. And for this reason, they understand Islam, and their practice of Islam is the best understanding of Islam and the best practice of Islam. And that the way that we understand the Quran and the Sunnah is by means of them, because they understood and practiced this Islam to the level where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is pleased with them. As Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Surah Al-Hadid talks about the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with Allah's statement, let me use this other ayah, excuse me, from Surah, and then I'll use that other ayah from Surah Al-Hashr, from Surah Al-Hadid. But this ayah first from Surah Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, the first foremost pioneers from among the muhajirin and the ansar. And the muhajirin are the ones who made hijrah with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. And the ansar are the Muslims of Medina. And those who follow them bi ihsan, and those who follow them in the correct manner, and those who follow them with that which they brought to us, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is showing that Allah is pleased with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah was pleased with them because they understood and they practiced Islam to the level that Allah was pleased with them. And who is the arrogant one among us who can stand up and say, I know Allah is pleased with me because of the way I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No one can stand up and say that. And the only ones who have been blessed with that statement, radiallahu anhum, in specific, is the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then whoever follows them the way that they understood and practiced Islam. And then I was making a point from that other ayah where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said about them, وَكُلْنَا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. And all of them Allah has promised Jannah, referring to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those deviant leaders, as the Shaykh is explaining, they have no narrations back to the Messenger of the Lord of the world sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor do they have any narrations back to the earliest Salaf, back to the predecessors from among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the people that followed them, and then the people that followed them in specific, and then anyone who follows them. As the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the authentic hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim says, خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. That the best of humanity is my generation, then the generation that followed them, then the generation that followed them. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us these best three generations. They are the ones who understood Islam properly. They are the ones who practiced Islam properly. And for this, they earned the praise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for their understanding and practice of Islam. And those people who have deviated from this deen, they have no narrations back to these people because they are upon other than what they were upon. Radiallahu anhum ajma'een. Then the Shaykh, he went on to say, therefore, because they followed their own desires, because they blindly followed their leaders, because their leaders interpret the Quran and the Sunnah according to their own desires, because they have no narrations back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his companions, the earliest Salaf. Therefore, because of that, they oppose, resist, dispute, and reject the narrations of the companions to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. Here the Shaykh is showing that because of your deviance, you oppose and you act in opposition to that which has been narrated on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his companions. And this is the custom practice of all of the deviants. And then the Shaykh went on to mention some of the deviant beliefs of those deviants, and I left that part out, as I said, I wanted to save our ears from it. And then maybe after, at the end, when we complete our explanation of the belief, maybe we'll go back and take a look at some of those deviant beliefs and some of the deviant beliefs of the Muslims of today. Then the Shaykh went on and said, all of the people of bid'ah and deviance from among the Jahmiyyah and the Murjiyah and the Hururiyyah are alike in that which they have invented as bid'ah and that which opposes the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That which opposes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and his companions, and that which the Ummah has agreed upon, those people and the Mu'tazila and the Qadariya are all the same in their innovation and in their deviance. The Shaykh mentioning these deviant groups and showing that all of these people of deviance, and we've mentioned some of their characteristics, that these people of deviance, these people who invent bid'ah and innovation into the deen, those people who leave the straight path and follow their own desires, that they are all alike in the sense that they do that which is in opposition to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which is in opposition to the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, and that which the Ummah has agreed upon. We see that Islam has been practiced for 1400 years, alhamdulillah, up until today, or more than 1400 years. Islam has been preserved, intact, understanding and practice, and has been understood and practiced for all of these years, and then the deviants come with their new program that is different from everything that has come before it. This is common to all of the deviants, and all of the deviants are alike in the sense that they're off of that Siratul Mustaqim. And this is what is meant, as we were trying to explain, where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala was saying that this is my path, the straight path, follow it and don't follow any other paths. That Allah's straight path is one. But the other paths that we have been prohibited from following are many other paths. Whether they're the path of the Qadariya, of the Mu'tazila, of the Jahmiyyah, of the Murjiyah, of the Hururiyya, and all of the deviant sects, that all of those deviants are alike in the sense that they oppose the Quran and the Sunnah and that which was practiced and understood by the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and that which the Ummah has been practicing of the Quran and the Sunnah. This is the explanation of the introduction of the Aqidah of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah. And if there was any good in this explanation, then it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if there was anything wrong, then it was from me and myself. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me. And I ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to increase us in beneficial knowledge and to benefit us from the knowledge that He increases us with. Wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any questions, we'll take them after the adhan, inshallah. The person whose heart Allah has placed a seal, the person on whose heart Allah has placed a seal, what do they have to do to have this seal removed from their hearts? The one who has a seal placed on their hearts, case is closed, over with, they're finished. But someone who hears the truth and doesn't accept it the first time or the second time or the 100th time doesn't mean his heart has been sealed. You know when someone's heart has been sealed is when they die on that kufr, like Alex Haley, la'anahu Allah.
Alex Haley dug his roots all the way back to Al-Islam. Dug his roots all the way back to La Ilaha Illallah in Gambia. And they showed it on Gil Noble, and I remember seeing it when he had to walk on foot because the cars couldn't go back to where his village started. And he walked back on foot and walked into the village of Islam, where the women were dressed like Muslims and the people were practicing Islam. And he even wrote that in his book, that they took the slaves from there when they were on their way to Fajr Salah. He knew the truth of Islam, dug his roots all the way back to La ilaha illallah, and then died on kufr. That's the one. How are you going to remove a seal from the heart of that kafir who died on kufr after he saw the beauty of Islam? There's no removal of that seal once it's been placed on your heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
It's about music. Now I know that in this song we're not supposed to listen to music. But then I talked to someone, they was telling me about the drums. Drums is permissible. And that in Islam we have a, they have a little instrument like a drum, they beat it for what purpose, I don't know. Could you explain that purpose or that drum?
I had one of the questions really to be on the topic, and that if there were any other questions, then we could take them on Tuesday night's class, unless it was a class of a question that had to be answered right now because someone had to do a particular act. But if something could wait until Tuesday, then we should wait and you leave the questions, inshallah. I mean, if we talk about everything that's deviant, we would go on forever. So we just wanted to have the question specifically related to the talk, and Allah knows best. So we'll try to handle that, inshallah, on Tuesday night's class. Yes. One is from Surah Al-Furqan, and that's ayah number 43. Surah Al-Furqan is chapter number 25. Yeah, and that verse number is, what did I say, 43? It's from Surah Al-Jathiyah. Surah Al-Jathiyah, I don't know what number surah that is, 49, 48, 47. It's around 45, something like that. The other ayah, that, did you see the one? It's around number 45, chapter Jathiya, verse number 23.
The example of Shaitan
is from Surah Al-Hashr. That's chapter 59. And that verse was... number 16. Allah ibarak fi. A brother just made a point, or a question in the point, and I just mentioned that, inshallah, before the salat. And that is that those people who follow the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from among the Muhajireen and the Ansar, that Allah will be pleased with them, just like he's pleased with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That goes for whoever follows them all the way up to Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among them. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.